الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you open your eyes in the morning, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, because it is a blessing. It is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran teaches us that if you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never ever be able to do so. There are so many countless blessings in our life. Some we know, some we don't even know that we have it. That's why it's important to always be grateful, because by you showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will grant you success in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter, inshallah azza wa jal. Alhamdulillah, today, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have a very interesting topic of discussion, and that is the price of paradise. Yes, subhanallah. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio our honorable guest, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sayyidi.
How are you, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Nisa.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Mawlana Sahib, today is a very beautiful day, and I'm sure your day has been going well so far. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Well, Mawlana, today our topic that we will be discussing is the price of paradise. And our viewers, of course, at this moment in time, they must be wondering, what are we talking about, the price of paradise? But inshallah, as we go on with this episode, then it will unravel itself as to what exactly do we mean by the price of paradise, inshallah.
There's a price for everything.
100%. They say there's a price for everything. If a person wants something, then there is a cost to it. There's a price that they have to pay to get it. Subhanallah. But before we actually dive into today's topic of discussion, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. And also there's another very beautiful narration, Munasab, wherein it's mentioned that there was a particular individual, and this individual was very sinful. He would disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day, throughout the night. And this individual, Musa, was from the nation of Bani Israel.
Allah.
And he would transgress all the limits. People despised him. People didn't want to have any connection with him. So it so happened one day he died, and they took his body and they threw it into a dump yard, Musa. When this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his beloved prophet Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that, "Oh Musa, my servant is at so-and-so place. Go there, remove him from that place, give him ghusl, shroud him, give him a proper burial." Musa alayhi salam, he also knew that this person, he was sinful, but he carried out the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afterwards, Musa alayhi salam wanted to know the wisdom behind it. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Allah, what was the wisdom behind all of this?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that, "Oh Musa, yes, this person, he was sinful. Yes, he would disobey me. But he had a very beautiful habit. And that habit was, whenever he would open the Torah and he would come across the name of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would send salawat upon my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and kiss the beautiful name of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Musa, it is because of this reason that I have forgiven all of his sins and granted him Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Imagine Musa, an individual from the nation of Bani Israel, from the nation of Musa alayhi salam, recited salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and got this maqam, got this status, was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine the abuse of Madani Sharon when you and I recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we being from the ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of reward and thawab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be giving us, how much of mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be showering upon us. So always make it your priority to always send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us also collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, as mentioned, that our topic we would be discussing today is the price of paradise. And inshallah, we are going to be speaking about those who will receive palaces, castles in Jannah, some Quranic verses and a hadith regarding maintaining ties with one's family, with relatives. And also we would be learning about the description of Jannah and also about how an individual who was upset was conciliated. Also together with this, the benefits of calling towards righteousness and how an affluent person became a godly person. We will learn about those who will enter paradise and the love that some godly people had for Salah, and many other matters will be addressed as well, inshallah. But to begin and to start off, there's a very beautiful narration wherein it's mentioned by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He narrates that one day when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, he smiled. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do you smile, Ya Rasulullah? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said that two people from my nation will fall upon their knees in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one will say, O Allah, I seek justice from you in dealing with him because he has oppressed me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the claimant that what can this person do now? What can he do now when he has no good deeds remaining? The oppressed man, the claimant, will respond, add my sins into his account. And after saying this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to cry, began to weep, and said that on that day, it will be a significant day for everyone will be in need of lightening their burden on the day of Qiyamah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the oppressed man, that look at what is in front of you. The man will reply, Ya Rabb, Ya Allah, I see so beautiful cities of gold and grand palaces before me that are decorated with pearls. Which prophet, siddiq, or martyr do these cities and these beautiful palaces belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, they are for the one who pays their price.
Subhanallah.
So this man, he asked, who can pay their price? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you can pay for it. If the man asked, how can I pay for it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, by pardoning and forgiving the rights of your brother. And the man will exclaim that, oh Allah, I have forgiven all rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say that take your brother's hand and both of you enter Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that fear Allah and reconcile between creation. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also reconcile between Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah, subhanallah, awesome. What a beautiful narration this is. And from this narration, I'm sure our viewers of Madani Channel must have caught on by now that the price for paradise and what we really mean by this, Mu'asab. Mm-hmm. So from this narration, Mu'asab, there are so many beautiful lessons in there, so many beautiful Madani pearls there are in it, that, you know, in this time and age, you may find so many that have cut of ties with their brother, with their sister, or some even with their parents, Ma'adullah. And some find it very, very difficult, Mu'asab, to patch up, you know, to get back together. So what advice, what suggestions can we give out to such people, Mu'asab?
Sayyidi, first of all, fulfilling the rights of people, it's very important, as we have learned from this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll have to pay a very heavy price for that, for violating the rights of people on the day of judgment. And that price, nobody will be willing to pay that price. For example, on the day of judgment, many people will not enter because of their own good deeds, but those good deeds they will earn from the people who have violated their rights. And many people will enter hell because of violating others' rights, and whatever good deeds they'll have, it will be given to everyone's right that they will be owing. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has regarded such people as bankrupt, muflis,
Allahu
Akbar, whose rights are taken by those whose rights he had violated, whose good deeds and whose rewards are taken by those who had violated the rights, subhanallah. And this is the matter, that once we violate somebody's rights, we'll be paying with our own good deeds. And in some cases, it will be such that we won't have nothing left with us. And when we have nothing left with us to give others for violating their rights, then what will happen in return was sins from their account will be transferred into ours. So initially, a person would start having a lot of good deeds, and then at the end, he'll have nothing with him. He'll be totally bankrupt, and he'll incur the evil and the guna and the bad deeds of all those whose rights he'll be owing. Allah, which is a very tough situation to be in, and this person was in the similar situation.
Right.
We have learned from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here, the beautiful value of Islam of forgive and forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He wants us to behave as servants, as bondmen, is to be obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be loving and kind towards each other. That person had violated the rights of the next person, right?
Right.
But at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged them to forgive each other.
Allah
subhanahu. That became the price, you know. So if we can find in our heart to forgive people who have wronged us, then yes, this is the similar thing. Because that person was willing to forgive his brother,
right,
as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes from his servants, that we must forget our differences and learn to forgive each other and to pardon each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Loving each other for the sake of Allah is a great ni'mah, subhanallah. It is a sign of the completion of iman.
Right.
And having enmity with somebody also for the sake of Allah is also a sign of iman.
So both.
Yes.
Right.
مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ عَلِى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. The beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he teaches this beautiful value of Islam. And then there's also this narration that you have mentioned, that a person from Bani Israel, he purchased paradise by the recitation of Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him paradise. Allah. And there are many, many other ways which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us, imparted with us, that this is also another way of attaining the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would, in many, many ahadith, you would see this. And he would promise people paradise, that if you do this and that, you'll enter Jannah.
Allahu Akbar.
And subhanallah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ahadith has mentioned it, due to many different actions, a person will enter Jannah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds the keys of Jannah.
Allah, Allah.
And he has the authority to prescribe for anyone, whatever the method may be to enter Jannah, to pay the price and enter Jannah. Subhanallah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that an Abi Umamata radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala samiyatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakhtubu fi hajjatil wada'. He narrates, the Sahabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivering a sermon on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, the final farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqal, and he said, ittaqullah fi Allah wa sallu khamsakum, and pray your 5 times salah, wa sumu shahrakum, and fast in your month of Ramadan. Wa addu zakata amwalikum, and pay the zakat of your wealth, and follow your leaders. Tadkhulu jannata rabbikum, and you will enter the paradise of your Rabb.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Subhanallah. How beautifully he has
absolutely
mentioned
beautiful
it in an order. Subhanallah, you do this and that and that, and that will pave your way towards Jannah. Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.
And this is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So Sayyidi, there are a few things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in order for a person to enter Jannah. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has highlighted a similar thing in his Ash'ar. And he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often promise the Sahaba, the people, Jannah. Subhanallah. Because he is the one who has authority to offer Jannah. Am Rasulullah ke Jannat Rasulullah.
Subhanallah.
And then he said, and it's not very difficult to follow through what the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us to do for the ones who are sincere in their pursuit. And he says, wo to nihayat sasta sauda, bech rahe hai jannat ka.
Allah.
He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is selling a very affordable package for Jannah.
Subhanallah.
So, but we are bankrupt, we cannot pay the price.
Allah Akbar.
So this is where this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to remind us that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew what we need to do in order to attain paradise. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam listed a few things. One is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that action which is above everything else. Once we attain the fear of Allah, the rest becomes easy. And who does not fear Allah, he starts fearing everything else. So these awliya Allah, they had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
They feared that if they had to, you know, miss one time salah, what a major thing it was for them. But we don't have that kind of fear when we our salah time is missed and we don't even regret it at times.
That kind of taqwa.
Yes, that kind of taqwa. And when we are violating people's rights, they would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then praying 5 times salah, that is very much clear that this is the best ibadah that we can do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it comes to keeping the fast of the holy month of Ramadan. A fasting person, subhanallah, the smell of a fasting person's mouth is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who fasts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, that since fasting is for my sake, and I will give its reward.
Subhanallah.
Meaning
subhanallah.
He kept the reward concealed. Subhanallah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps something concealed, when the reward is really great. Subhanallah.
Allah.
Such as the specification of Laylatul Qadr, of when it is, the when of it, nobody knows.
Right.
Besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to bestow its knowledge upon. people hardly know when exactly it is.
Yeah.
Laylatul Qadr. The reason it is hidden, its knowledge is hidden, so we can strive more because of its greatness, the knowledge of it has been kept hidden.
Right.
Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also concealed the rewards of fasting because it is so great that we don't even know.
Allah
subhanallah. And then it comes to the obligatory action of paying zakat of our wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about being negligent in our payment of zakat, because he says a nation that does not pay zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts that nation with drought.
Allahu Akbar.
A nation that does not pay zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them undergo poverty. Meaning, by giving zakat, we have a chance to prosper. And by not paying zakat, a person sinks into poverty.
Allah, Allah.
Subhanallah. This is the beautiful divine ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have to use our mind to understand
this. Yeah. So what, I mean,
everything is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter whether we give or not give, the fact still remains that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He azza wa jal will bestow upon that nation who gives zakat.
Subhanahu.
And withhold from that nation that refuses to give zakat. This is such a serious matter in Islam. That those people who don't pay zakat or refuse to pay zakat, they are held accountable for it. And here, people feel that, you know, it's optional to give zakat. It is fard to give zakat if you are sahib nisab. And if you wish to know the rulings of zakat, inshallah, Darul Iftah al-Sunnat is there. You can write to them. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, they'll provide you Sharia guidance with regards to the calculation of zakat, whether you are sahib nisab or not. They will also enlighten you regarding that as well, inshallah. Azza wa Jal.
Inshallah.
Now, Sayyidi, when it comes to the payment of zakat, people like Qarun, they never paid zakat. And what happened to them? What happened to him? His account is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us as an example. What happens to this kind of people who refuse to pay zakat? And after he refused to pay zakat, it was way below. Ours is 2.5%. His was way below discount.
And still he didn't want to give.
When he accumulated all the zakat and he calculated everything, he said, oh, so much, I'm going to give. He got greedy.
Allah.
And then he withheld. And then as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us an example of Qarun, that at the end, Allah azza wa jal, he buried him together with his treasures and his palace. Into the ground, and he is sinking, still he is sinking, and he'll continue to be sinking deeper into the ground until the day of judgment.
Allahu Akbar.
So this example was set against the people who refused to pay zakat. Zakat is the next thing after salah.
Right.
Zakat, salah and zakat are mentioned repeatedly many a times in the Holy Quran. And the next thing the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions is to obey those in authority among you. And those in authority, such as in the Khulafa'i Rashideen, subhanAllah, the Khulafa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who are people of authority, and those who follow in that category. And then as a result, you will enter paradise of your Lord. A beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he has made us aware of what is the price that we can pay to attain the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So there are many ways of attaining it.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. That was really, really inspiring, you know, and that serves as a guideline for one to do, for one to implement, for one to perform in order for them to pave the way to Jannah, to pave the way to paradise. And this is the prize of paradise, dear views of Madani Channel. As Muasab has mentioned, so many beautiful Madani pearls. Muasab has mentioned that love for Allah, hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to join ties. Do you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, you will certainly fulfill the rights of those who are entitled. such that even a hornless goat will take revenge from a horned one, from a horned goat. Here, the purpose is that if you do not fulfill the rights of people in this world, you will most certainly fulfill them on the day of Qiyamah. So in this world, rights are fulfilled how? Rights are fulfilled with wealth, with money. And in the hereafter, they are fulfilled with one's deeds. That is why it is better for you to fulfill them in this world. Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, such a person will regret it. Now, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naim rahimahullah, he writes that although animals, they aren't bound by the laws of Sharia, but they too must fulfill the rights amongst one another. Allahu Akbar, imagine, what will the matter between animals be like? And you know, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he mentions and he says that if a horned goat gouged a non-horned goat, hit a non-horned goat in this world, then on the day of Qiyamah, its horns will be given to the non-horned goat and it will hit the other in retaliation for it.
Allah.
So this teaches us that we have to live in harmony with one another. We as human beings, we as Muslims, as families, we have to live in harmony with one another. And when you do this, this is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make people himself reconciliate on the day of Qiyamah and grant them entry into Jannah. So that is why if we wish to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we wish to see a peaceful society, we wish to spread love everywhere and to enter paradise enjoying its bounties and to protect ourselves from humiliation and disgrace on the day of Qiyamah, then you and I, we need to develop the habit to reconcile amongst ourselves and promote this action that makes one worthy of paradise. And for this, many may find it hard. Many may find it difficult that why should I lower myself? Why should I be the first one to go? Why should I be the first one to ask for forgiveness? I didn't do anything wrong. He did something wrong. He must come to me. Why all this ego? Why all this pride? Why all of this having your neck so high in the sky? When all is needed is humility, humbleness, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reconcile. Because in reality, Murasab, you know, it's one's nafs. It's one's nafs that makes a person not to reconcile. And a person becomes, ends up being obedient to the nafs that, you know what, I am of a very high status person, and I cannot, no matter what the case may be, but I would not be the first to step down and ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That person, he must come to me. And people have this mindset more, so where they take reconciliation as a very, very big burden upon themselves. They think that if they reconcile, then they are being humiliated, they are being embarrassed, and they are being insulted if they are the first ones to go and ask for forgiveness. Even in this regard, Mohsab, for those who have this we can call it stubbornness, not to go forward and ask for forgiveness, whether they're right, whether they're wrong. How can such a person develop this mindset that, you know what, even if I'm right, even if I'm wrong, I will be the first to go and ask for forgiveness from my brother.
See, a peaceful life is a prosperous life.
All right.
And life full of conflict, it just adds to your problems.
It becomes too dramatic, too much
exactly.
of drama.
Too toxic.
Right.
We don't want negativity. We don't want toxicity in life. Right. We want peaceful, clean life. And in order to live that kind of life, these are the elements that are required. Forgiveness,
right.
Seeking forgiveness and forgiving others when you are sought forgiveness. And subhanAllah, a person who thinks, okay, I am beyond stepping down and asking somebody to forgive, right? To seek forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it this way. That person is, his ego may stop him, because this kind of a person who is after instant gratification, he cannot, this kind of a person, he cannot see past his nose,
right,
for example, right? But those of us who have the fikr of the hereafter, that if I don't seek forgiveness today, I'll have to pay that price tomorrow anyway.
And that's more severe than paying it now in this world.
Exactly. So no matter how embarrassing it may be, you still are better off doing it here. So you are actually wiser and more clever if you do it here.
100%.
Right? Stroke your ego if it makes sense that way.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm going to be the better one and I'm going to ask forgiveness.
Whether I'm right or wrong.
Yes. Subhanallah. And that also patches up the relationships. It also removes the burden from your soul. You're not feeling guilty anymore.
Ah, that heaviness is not upon you.
Yes. There's so much you can achieve. And if you think that you are cutting yourself short by asking for forgiveness, then we need to really look into this and listen to a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "Man tawadha lillahi rafa'ahu Allah." He who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates him.
Allahu Akbar.
So yes, people are not going to elevate you. It's not upon people. Right? Allah will elevate you. And that's guaranteed.
Yes.
Who can stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nobody.
Allah. Allah.
And another hadith, whenever somebody adopts humility for the sake of Allah, it only results in one thing. Allah elevating his status.
Subhanallah.
And this is very, very particular and very niche. I mean, so specifically described that this is the way of elevation. If you want to really become greater than you are, then this is the way.
Allah,
humble yourself, Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to another height.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful motivation, dear views of Madani Channel. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to have status, you want your status to be elevated. Show humbleness, humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Holy Quran teaches us that we are the Muslims, they are brothers to each other. The Quran also teaches us that we should make peace between your two brothers. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may attain mercy. Subhanallah. The Quran even guides us on this matter. And the beautiful narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Mu'asab has mentioned. And here also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Shall I not inform you of an action that is superior to fasting, salah, and giving sadaqah?" And the companions, alayhim ridwan, they replied, "O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most definitely tell us." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that action is to reconcile between two individuals who are upset with each other for the corruption that takes place amongst those who are upset severs goodness. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This shows us how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging you and I to reconcile with our other fellow Muslims, family members. Don't feel shy to be the first to go and ask for forgiveness. And Masab, this is such a vast topic, such a deep topic. There are so many things that can be discussed in this topic, and there is still much more, Masab. But you know, we do also have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us also go and listen to this beautiful kalam to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies, and soul in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much more regarding this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Mustafa Mujtaba Khatamul Sarkar, ae mere sarkar. سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار تمہارا نام مصیبت میں جب لیا ہوگا ہمارا بگڑا ہوا کام بن گیا ہوگا خدا کا لطف ہوا ہوگا دستگیر ضرور جو گرتے گرتے تیرا نام لے لیا ہوگا دکھائی جائے گی محشر میں شان محبوبی دکھائی جائے گی محشر میں شان محبوبی کہ آپ ہی کی خوشی آپ کا کہا ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار ہزار جان فدا نرم نرم پاؤں سے پکار سن کے اسیروں کی دوڑتا ہوگا عزیز بچے کو ماں جس طرح تلاش کرے خدا گواہ یہی حال آپ کا ہوگا کہیں گے اور نبی اذهبوا الى غیری کہیں گے اور نبی اذهبوا الى غیری میرے حضور کے لب پر انا لہا ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار کوئی قریب ترازو کوئی لبے کوثر کوئی صراط پہ ان کو پکارتا ہوگا مقام فاصلوں پر کام مختلف کتنے وہ دن ظہور کمال حضور کا ہوگا خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک خوشی ان کی چاہتا ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار کوئی کہے گا دعائی ہے یا رسول اللہ تو کوئی تھام کے دامن مچل گیا ہوگا شکستہ پاؤں میرے حال کی خبر کر دو کوئی کسی سے یہ رو رو کے کہہ رہا ہوگا کسی کو لے کے چلیں گے فرشتے سوئے جحیم کسی کو لے کے چلیں گے فرشتے سوئے جحیم وہ ان کا راستہ پھر پھر کے دیکھتا ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار نشان خسرو دین دور کے غلاموں کو لیوائے حمد کا پرچم بتا رہا ہوگا غلام ان کی عنایت سے چین میں ہوں گے عدو حضور کا آفت میں مبتلا ہوگا میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے حسن فقیر کا جنت میں بستر ہوگا
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
غم زدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار
اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار
مصطفیٰ مجتبیٰ خاتم الانبیاء
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ What a heart-touching, melodious, rejuvenating kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آمین یا رب العالمین And indeed, Muasa, you know, listening to these kalams in the shan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they indeed increase one's love for the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also together with listening to kalams, one should also recite abundantly salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we've mentioned in the beginning, the virtues of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've even mentioned the narration in the beginning regarding the individual of Bani Israel, how he was rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherein, you know, he was sinful, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people, they hated him. They took his body, dragged it and they threw it into the dumpyard and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to his beloved Prophet Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, my servant is laying at so and so place. Go there, remove him from that place, give him ghusl, kafan, dafan, etc. and give him a proper burial. And Musa alayhi salam, he did as he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person, Musa, his habit, why he was forgiven? It was because he would, whenever he would open the Torah, he would recite salawat upon the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he came across the beautiful name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would kiss the beautiful name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for this reason Musab, imagine he was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually he told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that I have entered him into paradise and married him to the maidens of paradise.
Subhanallah.
So this is the glad tiding that he received through Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the wisdom behind it. Right. Why? Because people of Bani Israel, when Musa alayhi salam, he went to them. The Bani Israel said, why do you want to rescue his body and give it a proper burial? Then Musa alayhi salam said in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, my people, Bani Israel, they are saying such a sinful person he was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that this is how he would pay respect to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Torah whenever he would recite it. And he would kiss it with utmost love and reverence and then recite salawat upon him. And for that, he, subhanallah subhanahu wa ta'ala has admitted him into paradise and married him to the maidens of paradise, subhanallah.
Allah.
And this is the reason. And if this person being from the ummah of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, from being from the nation of Bani Israel, if he can be attain paradise, subhanallah, by virtue of reciting salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we of course are the Ummah of the Beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, we should recite more often salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he is our master.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So once more, let us all recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. MashaAllah. Coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the price of paradise, subhanallah. And mashallah, Munasab has shed some light, some beautiful words of wisdom in this regard as well, with matters pertaining to reconciling with one another and not breaking ties. And now to go on further, there's a very beautiful narration wherein it is mentioned by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not permissible for a Muslim to break ties with his brother for more than 3 nights. Allahu Akbar. And the first to reconcile will be the first to enter paradise. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that I came to know that Imam Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, they were no longer speaking to each other due to some issue. So I went and I said to Sayyidina Imam Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that, you know what, people consider you both to be the leaders. So don't break ties with one another. Go to your brother, speak to him, because you are younger than him. And when Sayyidina Imam Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard this, he replied and he said that if I had not heard the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is that statement? That statement is that the one who is first to reconcile will be the first to enter Jannah, I would certainly visit him. But I do not wish to enter Jannah, to enter paradise before him. Allahu Akbar. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he further narrates that hearing these sentiments of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I went to Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu and mentioned everything to him. And Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that my brother, he has spoken the truth. Then he stood, went to his brother Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu and spoke to him. And like this, both brothers reconciled. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. What a beautiful waqiyah this is, Masa. What a beautiful incident and parable. And this incident, you know, it's there to teach the ummah the importance of reconciliation.
And also to mediate. When the two family members, mm-hmm. you know, and as a person who has concern,
right?
If you know that, you know, if you give advice, it will be heard. Mm-hmm. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he is a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who himself he wouldn't like people fighting and having conflict, right? And breaking family ties, especially. He had a gathering, and in the gathering of people, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he told people in the gathering that those who have broken family ties, they must leave this gathering.
Allahu Akbar.
And then he said, because of those individuals who would have broken family ties and they are present among us, then the du'as of nobody will be accepted because of them.
Allah.
This is such a, we can say like a bad luck. To have people who are driven by negativity and who like to fight and cause problems between family members, right? And who have broken the family ties, such people, if they are present in a gathering, nobody's dua is accepted.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, how major of a thing it is. And if because of them, nobody's dua gets accepted, their dua itself, one can imagine. So it's a very big thing if you think about it. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had propagated this all his life. Silul Arham. This was the first message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went to Madina Munawwara, and he commanded the first sermon which he gave in Madina Munawwara, that spread salam, feed people, wasilul arham, and mend family ties, and read Salah while people are asleep.
Subhanallah.
And you'll enter Jannah in peace. Subhanallah. So these were the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to create a peaceful society and that really looks after each other, that lives in peace and harmony. And we just earlier on I mentioned the account of those five things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, and they were targhib Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave regarding attaining the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it came to salah, five times salah, right. Then it was zakat, then he mentioned fasting, subhanallah, all these actions, and then following the Islamic leaders as well. Now when it comes to zakat, the nation that refused to pay zakat, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was him who took the initiative and to really put those people right. Because Allahu Akbar, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba were really down and out. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala held it all together.
Subhanallah.
First Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave, Saniyat name, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, jazakallah Masa, for those beautiful words of wisdom. And I'm sure our views of Madani Channel have gained much motivation and encouragement to reconcile with one another. And this is the price of Jannah, the price of paradise. And Masa, just before we conclude, for our views of Madani Channel, just to give a brief description of Jannah, it's mentioned that if something the size of a fingernail from paradise, from Jannah, was to become apparent in the world, the heavens and the earth would become adorned. Allahu Akbar. If a heavenly bangle was to become apparent, it would dominate the light of the sun, just as the sun dominates the light of the stars. Allah, Allah. And the dwellers of paradise, they will receive the tastiest of foods, whatever they desire will be immediately presented to them. If they see a bird and desire to eat its meat, it will come to them at once, and that too cooked, Masaf. Allahu Akbar. So the views of Madani Channel, always strive to reconcile between fellow Muslims, between your family members. Don't feel shy, don't feel embarrassed, because by you showing humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate your status. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures.